Hello and welcome to MGP 554. I'm Sheepdog and it's a Sheepdog and Pab episode this week. Say hello, Pabby.
Hello. Hello.
Welcome to the episode. It's just you and I. How's your week been? Are you all good?
It's warm, Austin. Summer's arrived, I feel like. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, I'm suffering. I'm in shorts, but I don't, you all know this, I don't wear shorts out in public that often. And I've spent 2 days at a work function. I don't go to work that often in person. So I was certainly not wearing shorts. And I've just been very, very hot this week. Very, very hot. But we survived. We had unlimited like soft drinks and tea and coffee. And as you well know, I can't have too much caffeine or I kind of break. And Tuesday morning, I kind of ignored that rule and broke a little bit. But I spent the rest of the time that I was there drinking soft drinks and taking it a bit easier. But oh my God, it's been hot. The weather's been a nightmare.
Yeah.
I needed to get to winter as soon as possible now. This will just fast forward through this bit.
That the season has come where it's just melting, like in the evenings, going to bed, like boiling hot. It's just the worst. It's the worst. I like it for like in winter when I can kind of wrap up and get under the blanket and get nice and warm rather than just kind of be sat on top of the covers melting away on with a fan on.
Last week we invented Kev's hemorrhoid chair that he fills with ice and sits on. This week I'm going for the ice what's it called, mattress, you know. I know waterbeds exist for the listeners going, Sheepdog, that's a waterbed, you fool. You freeze it, plug it in. You know, it'll probably hum a little bit, which would be annoying, but have a plug-in bed that just goes a little bit cold. Or make it out of the underside of a pillow. So it's always cold. Not the top side of the pillow.
They make them pillows that are like have like a cold...
Well, there's only underside. There's no upside of the pillow.
There's like a coldness to them. There's like some sort of cold membrane to them that keeps... I don't know. You're right. I don't know.
But yeah, I feel like we all need to cash in on these award-winning ideas that I only seem to have in the first 15 minutes of our podcast each week. This is me just patenting them all on the sly. I'm like, you know, cold fusion. No one's thought of that. That's my idea now. I don't know why they're all coldness related, but they are. And that's my invention now. So if anyone invents that in the next sort of 10 years, I'll claim it because I talked about it here first. A small bit of housekeeping on my part before I forget to say it. I don't know if you can hear this. You haven't mentioned it, so you probably can't. One of my neighbours has been doing a drum solo for about half an hour. And what's more annoying is it's the same drum solo that he's been doing for weeks on and off. The guy only knows how to play drums one way. I swear to God, he is training to do a drum roll. And that's all he's doing. He's been doing a drum roll incessantly for weeks now. Really? I reckon maybe he's building up. And the idea is he wants me to just burst through his door and tell him to stop. And then he'll stop and that'll be the joke. But all I can hear at the moment is and I thought it was one of the kids at first, like upstairs, but then I realised it's him across the bloody road again doing his drum.
Is he literally practicing the drum roll? Is it literally that's what he's preparing for an event or something?
If he is, I don't know what more training he needs to do. Like he's nailed it. He's smashed it. He ain't missed a beat in weeks. My other worry is that he's actually got a circus going on over there and he's drum rolling in the trapeze artists or whatever. And that could be, I haven't investigated. I mean, you know what I'm like. There could be all sorts going on across the road from my house and I ain't getting out there. Not in my shorts, Pab. Come on, we discussed this.
I mean, you've got to put pants on first, yeah.
Yeah, if I can't see what's going on from the blinds by peeping through them, then I'm never going to know. There's a geezer out there taking photos the other day and I sent the WhatsApp group pictures of this man and you could just see that it was between my blinds. I'd been too chicken to go out there. And I was like, this man's just wandering around our street taking photos. Anyone know? It turned out he was taking pictures because someone was moving their house, but he just looked really shifty. I wouldn't have minded if he was just taking pictures, but he kept peeping before he did it. And the peep really made me wonder what was going on. So I peeped back.
That is the thing. If you're going to do something like that, do it confidently. He wasn't confident. He was kept.
No, exactly.
It makes him look shifty. You do it confidently, you wouldn't have batted an eyelid.
See, I was explaining to someone the other day. So at this work event, they said if you give them two suggestions on a sheet of paper of what the company can do better, they'll give you drink tokens. So I queued up, got mine, and I thought to myself, I could just join the back of the queue. He doesn't know me. And then I didn't do it. But then one of my colleagues was like, I'm going to do it. And I said to him, just don't do anything. Just walk up, do it, act completely like it's normal, that you've never been there before. And he managed to secure the bag. And then we were discussing how when I realized I could do that as a thing, I used to be a nightmare. I would like walk up to the front of, you know, when you go to gigs and you got to hand your coat in, there's a really long queue for it. I used to just walk up to the front, hand them my coat and get a ticket. And no one ever questioned it. No one ever was like, get in the queue, mate. What are you doing? They'd just be like, this guy clearly needs to do this. It's obviously a rule that he's allowed to do this. And they would just let me. And so I would just like hand the coats in, get the ticket, leave, go to the bar and just put my hand up and get my drink or whatever. And it was a glorious like year of having some sort of confidence. So yeah, I don't know. This guy didn't have that with his photos, but as I say, next door are selling up. It's probably the drummer that's doing that, because, I mean, I thought it might have been us, but I've been talking to that neighbour a bit this week. Turns out he's a geeky Spurs fan. He's all right, yeah. And also, he's really good at finding bargains, because he told us he's got a quote on our fence being replaced, and we were all a bit like, hmm. And then I rang and got some quotes. I think I might have said this before. The guy came around and said to me, yeah, that'll be, I think it was £350, £400 per panel, plus another like 50 quid. Or so per post. And the moment he said the price, I was physically standing in front of him, but mentally I'd gone indoors and I don't have a clue what he said for the rest of the time he was talking. I had just left the conversation. And when I told the neighbour, I had a guy around, he basically wanted to quote us nearly £2,000 for the whole job. He looked at me like, you're insane. And then he got a guy to do a really good job, because they're all up and they're still up a week later. And it cost me £200. Like, so we split that in two, 400 in total.
Okay, that's
it was like a friend of a friend. But I was like, mate, well, he's a friend of a neighbour that he spoke to. But I was like, mate, that was so much better than what I'd done. So yeah, he's not moving because of me. I wonder if he's moving because of the drummer. He's probably had enough of this nonsense, the circus that's going on here.
Yeah.
So other than that, I mean, do you know what? On slightly podcasty related things, I saw Angry John for the first time in a long time this week at this event.
Oh, very good.
He's in very good spirits. He said to me, you must be on 700 episodes by now at least. And I was like, John, 550-ish. Like, we have missed a few weeks over the past 12 years. Do you know what? So he wasn't angry at all. He was very good, but he got a bit frustrated at times, which is John's way. Bless him. We had a whole day of learning yesterday, which was tiring, but today we had team building and I very nearly blew it off. And I'm not sure if I'm glad I didn't. It was a fun day, but it was also a hectic day. And we had to film a news report. So I was in John's team, so that's why we got to have a really good sort of day hanging out. We had to film a news report of John pretending to be a police officer, saying that we would be tough on crime and people wouldn't be getting, you know, committing crimes on his watch. And then in the background, everyone's just walking by with guns, drugs, knives, all sorts. But there was a point during the day, the main part I wanted to tell was, they asked us, they were telling us that they were going to do something to do with tasers. And we were all like, oh, you got tasers. This will be fun. And the guy was like, who wants to go out and play with some tasers then? And we were like, hell yeah, you know, I'm up for that. That'll be fun. Like, just electrocute each other a bit. It'll be a laugh. And then he was telling us all about how they had these like little fake guns that they used in police training. And I just thought, oh, maybe it'll be like, I go at John with a gun and he tasers me. And that's the game. Whee. And so we agreed to volunteer to be the people who went and did it from our team. And then when we were all outside, we had to stand up in a line while everybody else just watched us and judged us. And the guy was like, when I say, like, right, you have to turn right, step forward a certain way that it showed us, shout tase, 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 and then pretend to tase someone. And then if he says left, you have to jump left. And it was like, whoever doesn't follow the instructions properly is out. It's a competition. And me and John were just like, oh, what? Like, this is not us at all. This is like the anti-us thing. So we were quite far apart in the queue at this point. Like, we'd split up a bit. I'd gone right to the end thinking no one will see me down here. But then the crowd got smaller and smaller and smaller until it was only me and John left. And we were the final two contestants. And they were like, for this bit, you have to stand back to back. You have to walk forward. And then I'm going to say tase. And you have to turn around and you have to shout something random, three words, and tase. And we'll do best of three. And so one of the guys, as I was walking along, someone went, tell him to suck it, bitch. And I was like, I can't say that, but I immediately forgot everything that was in my head. And I'm like, what do I do? So I just turned and yelled that, and everyone laughed. But I was like, this is a work, dude. John's like a boss. I can't remember what he shouted. But then the next time I said something like, let me win, which didn't work, and give me a raise. But then I realised that wasn't... give us a raise, I said. So I counted that as three words, because give us is one word, as everybody knows. But John ended up beating me 2-1, which is very disappointing. But he was nearer the judge, so I feel like the judge had built a bit of familiarity with him and a bit more love towards him. But yeah, no, our group should have won the whole day, but for some reason they gave it to our boss's group. I think it was probably just favouritism. But we were doing crime scene investigation, but John had to describe down the microphone to us, down a walkie-talkie. And he was right. Kind of being a bit like, I don't really know. And we were just like, do you want to just send us a photo of it on Teams? So he just sent us a load of pictures. And I went out my go and sent him a load of pictures. And everyone's like, you're cheating. And then at the end of it, the guy was like, they were the only team that had any initiative. Like, a real police officer wouldn't just fanny around being vague about the evidence. They would just get the information to them. They're the only people that did it properly. And it's like, yeah, we're legends. Lazy legends. But yeah, it was a good laugh hanging out of him. And yeah, it's been a while. It turns out he doesn't really go into the office either, so that was interesting. Oh, I assumed that I'd been, like, you know, swerving him by not being in, and he was like, I assume you go in quite often? And I was like, nope. Turns out he's been in, like, one day, and I've been in 0 days, so, yeah, pretty even.
There you go.
You had anything good happen in your week?
I was thinking this, and I don't think so. I said we had bank holiday, didn't we? Kind of a long weekend.
I was like, where did Monday go? When I was talking about my plan, I thought, hang on, I've lost Monday. But no, it's because, yeah, it's bank holiday.
Yeah, I've been thinking it's a day behind all week. But yeah, other than that, I didn't really do anything. No, nothing particularly.
Just loads of games, I assume. Tons and tons of games.
Yes, definitely loads of them. There's too many to speak of.
Do you know what really bugs me about myself with this, right, is I got Ayudan Chronicles downloaded, but I haven't had a chance to start it because I made a fatal mistake. I was trying to distract my youngest, and I promised him we'd play. He wanted to play games with me on Saturday. I didn't want to, and because I just wasn't feeling it. And as a side note, I'm still hooked on Suika Game. I'm not going to talk about that anymore, but I am playing it like a maniac. And so when he wanted to play with me, I was like, no games, only watermelons. And so I said to him Sunday morning.
Switch with that,
well, he doesn't want to play. I kept saying to him, like, we'll play the Switch tomorrow if you like. Or I'll play Suika with you on the Switch. And he was like, no. So on Sunday, we got on that and we were playing DC Supervillains, which is fun. I know I talked about it the other week and Anna's talked about it a little bit, but it's a cool game because it's the same sort of stories, but it's obviously got all the different abilities of the different villains. Like Joker's got a little pair of false teeth that you can send off as a drone. But I did the other times we played it, it wasn't as glitchy as it was this time. It had a real bug where we couldn't. So like we were, who were we? Deadshot, I think, was one of the characters. Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy, and someone else. And anytime. So I fell off the screen and then it wouldn't kill the character and I dropped out and come back in. But anytime one of us selected that character, it would lock up again. And so we had to keep dropping out, dropping in. And then at one point it was the only one playing and it just wouldn't let us have all three characters to switch between. And I thought, oh, once it switches to a new team, it will stop doing that. But then it just did it every level for the rest of the game we were playing. And I thought, that's a bit of a shame. It breaks the trust then, didn't it? Because you're kind of like, do I want to see? He was getting a bit fed up. He was a bit like, oh, why can't we play it properly? I want to switch to so-and-so. I really want to play as that guy, you know. But when that wasn't happening, it was good fun. And he was enjoying freezing me and electrocuting me and all this stuff. I really like how they're quite... Because he was just figuring the stuff out really quickly. And I thought, it's nice how they're so simple to grasp for someone as young as him. I know that, I mean, I reference it sometimes, but I tried to stream one of the Lego games a long time ago and I got stuck on this really simple puzzle for so long. It was absolutely embarrassing because everyone in the chat was like, just go there. And I was like, I can't see what you're telling me to do. I just physically can't see it.
That's the worst, yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't seem to have that problem so far. He's not got my cack-handedness. So that was fun. But I was getting a little bit fed up with the fact it kept breaking. When that happens, when it starts bugging out on me, it starts to make me feel a bit ill because I think I'm getting frustrated and I'm probably feeling hot and, you know, claustrophobic or whatever. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to get annoyed about it because it's only a game and, you know, I'm playing with my kid. But I'm also just like, come on, game, work. So I kept trying to get him to play Pokemon Snap because I thought he might like it. I'd gone through my pile of games and was like, which games could he just sit and play? And like, I can help him when he needs it. But for the most part, it will be easy. And he was giving it all that, I don't want to play that. I'm not interested in Pokemon really and all of this. So I was like, well, all right, you sit and do whatever for a minute. I'm going to put this on because it's got some updates that I've not seen yet. Because it had like a free DLC type thing where I think it was two new maps and tiny mode were added into it a while back. And I realized I'd never actually played them. So I loaded it up thinking I'll probably get a couple of levels in before he wants to grab it. I started it on his profile, so it was a new game. And I'm pretty sure the professor finished explaining what it was. And he immediately was like, I'll play it. So I kind of sat with him doing that. It turns out he's an amazing Pokemon photographer. He was getting ridiculously high scores for someone who'd never played it before, which is very impressive. But he has just been like, I want to play that game again. When I got home today and he got home from school, he was like, I want to play Snap again. I love it. It's so good. And we've just been like high-fiving every diamond one we get and that kind of thing. I know I've talked about it before, and it's like, you know, it's one of those, it's a very chill game. You're sat in your little buggy thing that automatically goes along the rail when Pokemon are appearing and they're like either asleep or they're doing something interesting and you're just photographing them and you're kind of judged on
their
pose, how central they are, how big they are, whether there's other Pokemon in the picture. But the little mode on it, it was like, that was just a cool little extra. You know, it's like you kind of go through a tree trunk and suddenly you've got all these tiny Pokemon are suddenly massive and you're able to get a really cool picture of them, or you can see like Pichu and Scorbunny having a little chat in a bush, or we saw a Snorlax was asleep. I think it was a Snorlax now. We didn't quite get it in a picture, so it didn't confirm it for me whether it was. It looked like one. There was a Bidoof with its butt just stuck in a log. But it's good fun. And I haven't got to the other levels yet on his one, but I'm excited thinking that I'd got all the levels, I think, on my one. So going and have a crack through them should be fun. But if anyone got that before and didn't know there were new levels, because I'd just forgotten, it's worth going back and checking it out. If you've never played it, it's a good little game. And if you've got little kids, it is an easy game for them to get hold of. It's like, I really like that. What it kind of does is it says, because it's moving on its own, at the start it's like, you just press this button to take pictures. And so you press A to take pictures, and I think it's B to throw apples. And it's like, do that. And then after a bit, it's like, oh, if you see interesting things, you can press X to scan them. So it just tells you that after a bit. And it was like, he understood. That's one extra thing. And then like a little bit later on, it's kind of going, oh, if you press this, it will like, you know, you'll throw something at a flower and it will light up. That's another little extra thing to do sometimes. And then it adds in a little bit to play music. But it does it at enough of a pace that he was so used to doing it that when it added the music in, he just keeps tapping the music. Now he's like, yeah, I'm doing all the other stuff, but tapping the music. And I thought they've clearly tested that and thought about it and made sure that it's the right kind of pace to not feel overwhelming early on. I tried really hard to make sure he understood it, because sometimes I give him the controllers and I don't really think about that. But I'm just impressed with how simply he gets it. So I just think it's one of those where people, if they've got a Switch and they're looking for a game that a little kid could play, or if you just want to chill, because that's the other thing. I was laying on the sofa. He handed me the controller because he needed to eat his dinner, and I just lay there doing some, and I was just like, yeah, this is a very relaxed game. It's got some funny bits in it, you know. You accidentally make something happen, or you throw something a certain way and it kicks off a load of stuff. It's got cute little stories in it. It's a fun little game. And I think that is mainly me. I was planning on having Ayuden Chronicles to play. It just took a little bit longer than I was expecting to download. I also got very distracted. I think I was downloading that, and then I thought that Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League was on Game Pass, so I got excited and went looking for that, even though I've heard mixed things about it.
No,
I just thought it'd be fun.
All right.
Is it all right, yeah? But it's not on there, yeah.
No.
And I was surprised. I can't remember. I think I'd seen what I think it was somebody was playing it, and it came up on my Xbox as a so-and-so has done this in this game. But I mistook it for an advert for it being on Game Pass, because I was on the Game Pass bit when it came up. But then I think I went looking for that. I got distracted, forgot that I'd downloaded it, and it was taking time to do it. And then every time I've come back, I was like, okay, that's still going. I'll leave it for now, and I've just not got into it. But I'm hoping for next week I'll be able to say, oh, I'm, you know, X hours through this. It's really good, because I've heard positive things about it. It's just a JRPG that I feel like needs some. I'm hoping it'll be big and good, because I want it to succeed. But yeah, that is me. That is my my main things I've played. I've shaking thing in my head that I've got something else I've forgotten to talk about. So if I do, I'll chuck that in later. But
you're gonna have anyway. To do Sheepdog. We're 19 quite a minutes in. what have I played? I don't know. Well, I've played I meant to look how many hours I've played of Stellar Blade now. I keep playing it. I'm still enjoying it. I don't know whether I can't remember whether we actually went over it too much last week, as in like what the whole premise of the game is. I can't remember now. I don't know if you do. You remember Sheepdog? I don't know if you know about this game.
No, I don't.
So the main premise is you are part of like I want to say like I want to say robot, but it's not. It probably is robots. They're like robot android looking people. And you are part of a team coming down to Earth to try and save, like, human civilization that's left on the planet, because you're coming back to Earth to, that's effectively like a wasteland, like an Armageddon. So much gone on, and civilization's pretty much gone. So you're here to try. I don't know of the full ins and outs of it, but You come back to Earth, and then you're finding all these monsters that are knocking about, and you're then trying to find the, like, well, the alphas is what you're looking for, to then be able to eradicate them and so on and so forth. But the story's all right. The story's all right, and it's not what I'm here for, I'd say. I more enjoy the actual gameplay itself. And it's like a little bit between, like I say, I mentioned it, it's like a little bit Souls-like last week, I feel like, whenever we talked about it. It's a little bit Souls-like, only in the sense of you have like sort of like your rest stops which respawn things, and sometimes there's like counters and parries and stuff like that, akin to something similar to a Souls kind of game, or maybe like Sekiro, because you have like
every picture I've loaded of this is just her posing with her sword. Yeah, which is obviously is she called Stella and the blade is the blade, or
no.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, there's Stella and her blade.
The main character's name is Eve. And you, like I said, the combat is more akin to something like, the more I've played of it, it's not really Souls-like, because I feel like Souls-like is, well, not the way I play it anyway. It's much more, not so strategic, but it's a lot more deliberate, maybe. Whereas I feel like this is much more hack and slash, sort of like action kind of thing, more akin to something like Devil May Cry, or maybe a little bit Bayonetta, which is fine, because I like those games anyway. And I've just been enjoying playing them. And it's also very much, to be fair, the whole game is, I feel like they did an interview, the developers, and they said it's very much like an homage to Nier Automata. And it is, the story's very similar, the music's very similar, the combat's sort of similar, so I can kind of see it, but it just seems a bit more, I don't say anime, but it's a little bit more anime with the characters and what have you. But yeah, I'm just enjoying playing it. I'm just enjoying running around the world.
I mean, reading what the dev said about it, I can see why. No. So I was just having a quick look at the pictures, and I saw it. It was called controversial, and I was like, "What could possibly be controversial?" And it's like, yeah, he's made a pretty character that is a bit too.
That certain crowds have latched on to, and
I mean,
certain crowds have latched on to it to say, like, you know, the certain brigade of people that are all like about, you know, suddenly this game's, you know, suddenly. I don't know.
I feel like there's always crowds across the board who either are, this game's too woke because this, and then equally at the same time, someone else is like, this game's too bad because this, and a lot of it is just pushing clicks and trying to make that rage bait money on X. I feel like in this day and age, games should just have a character creation for the most part. Like, you know, I know that sometimes you want to make a character that, you know, it's all about branding and IP. And, you know, if you character created a game like Mario, you'd never have had Mario, would you? You know what I mean? I know it's a weird example.
But yeah.
You know, so I get why you don't do that. But games like this, it's like, wouldn't have hurt, would it? But equally, if he wants to make a game with a massive arse and pretty face and all of that, then...
People can
either buy it or not. Like, you know, I don't feel like I should be telling anyone what they want to buy or what they want to enjoy.
And yes, there's like all the let's not be around the bush here. It does have like the jiggle physics of
I always find that kind of exaggerated. I don't, you know, again, not to offend anyone. I always find that like, I can't believe that's a thing. I can't believe anyone cares that deeply. But they're not jiggling properly.
This is the thing, though. It's like that's the thing, but no, it's never. It's never like...
Some games make it a thing, don't they? Which is, this isn't throwing it in your face. It's not like Game of Thrones when it went through that phase of, look how many boobs we've got on. You know what I mean? There was a point where Game of Thrones went so bottom of the barrel as a TV show because it was just like, here's a lady's legs open. That was their cold open to a scene. And reading about it there and hearing you talk about it, I don't think it's that kind of game where it's just trying to shock you and impress you with it.
I feel like I don't know who it's for in the sense of like the character doesn't even acknowledge it because like I said, she's like a android, so she's like not really, she's like impervious to it. No one mentions it at all in the game. It's never mentioned at all. It's like it's only for the people playing it, as I say.
I think the dev's quote was just literally, when I'm playing a game, I want something nice to look at. That's literally what they said. Well, and it's like, so he's obviously just thought...
Because it's not like, you know, like Bayonetta kind of owns it in that sort of sense. And it's a bit, she's a bit like, she takes, you know, takes that as part of her persona sort of thing. Whereas this is like, it's pretty much just... For you, the player, and nothing else. It's not part of the story. It's not integral to anything. That, like, aside from that sort of thing, is the gameplay itself has been. Go on, sorry.
I was gonna say you said the gameplay was good and the story was all right.
The story's all right, but the gameplay's fine. I'm enjoying just. I've got to like, I think it's called the Great Desert now. I want to say. It's like the fifth or sixth place. I've done like a major story point, which I was like, this can't be the, it felt like I was probably over halfway through at that point, at least. I did for a split second, I went, this isn't actually done, is it? We're not finishing here. And I don't think it is, but, cause I realized there were still parts of the upgrade tree there was like a new upgrade path that I hadn't actually unlocked yet. So. I was like, okay, yeah, I'm still safe for a while. I've unlocked all the different upgrades you can do now. The paths, I mean, not all the actual skills, but I'm at the Great Desert, and because I've been doing all the bulletin board stuff, which is they're just pretty much just fetch quests, just random busy work. I've got to the Great Desert and I've got like about five different icons on the map for like side quests that I've got to do. And that's just bulletin board ones. Then the side quests as well. I think I've got two or three of those on the go. And I went back to the actual first like world, because you start the first world you start in the game and you just go and you're trying to get to like the main city, which is like the second hub sort of thing. And I went back through it because there was at least one chest I knew of which I didn't have a passcode for. I think you had to get a passcode from the next world, next level on sort of thing, and come back. So I went back and did that, and then I had bulletin board, you know, side quest sort of stuff to go back there. And there's loads of stuff I just didn't go to. So that was cool, just to spend an afternoon just going around the old, you know, the old world that I've been around, and just kind of exploring a bit and finding stuff. And I found like a few new outfits and different things like that, and finding the materials. And yeah, it's a cool game to be wandering around in. I'm not hating having to do all the side quests. I mean, if anything, I'm more like, I turn it on and I go, right, what am I doing? Is this a side quest session or is it like a main session sort of thing? Have I got anything to do? And realistically, what I'm doing is I'm doing the side quest stuff. I feel like I might. I don't. There's a potential for a platinum on this. I feel like if I'm doing all the side stuff anyway, I just don't know how. I've not looked at the actual platinum trophy requirements. I don't know what it's like, but I feel like I could quite easily do it if I just did the side stuff. It's what I'm doing. I feel like I'm, before I do any main story stuff, I kind of like check the map. Have I got anything on the quest, on the, you know, any side quest of, you know, undone yet. So yeah, I'm gonna continue working my way through that. I'm enjoying, like I said, the combat is good. Combat is good, solid. The music is very good. The graphics are good as well.
Good music.
Music is very good. It's very, you know,
you've reminded me there. Someone, a friend of mine, messaged me a song recommendation for you, and I was like, "Oh, cool." Clicked the link to Spotify, and it was the bloody music from Suika Game. And half of me was like, "No," and half of me was like, "Yes."
You just get rickrolled.
Essentially, but yeah. Suika Road. So that's on my Spotify playlist now for when I'm in the mood for a bit of fruity music. Which, yeah, I probably once since they sent it, I'm like, yeah, I'll play that. So
stick it on in the car, full blast.
I think I was on my way to Tesco's and I was like, I don't really want to listen to blaring music. What do I do? I was just plodding along in the sun with my headphones on. And yeah, it was nice. It did help the walk. I feel like the Tesco trip was made better for the fact I had a chipper little tune playing. Although I don't think people can hear it when I'm playing stuff, but I mean, if certain songs come on, I'm a bit like, oh, I need to iron it. I need to get better at that. Like, I mean, I don't turn it down if it's Taylor Swift. I shouldn't turn it down if it's Suika Game, should I?
What are you doing? You got headphones on.
Yeah, but I have it up as loud as possible half the time. But I don't know whether it's like leaking or anything. It probably isn't, but I'm just conscious. I'm like, oh, do they know? But I don't care if they do, to be honest.
Yeah. Own it. So yeah, I've played some more. I want to say I was about 10 hours last week. I'm probably, I know I'm at least 15. I'm probably closer to 20, maybe, in Stellar Blade now. I don't know how long it is actually to finish the game. Actually, I don't know at all. I can't imagine it being a ton longer. I don't know. I could be completely wrong though, now saying that. So yeah, I've played some of that this weekend, and a game that I've played only a small amount, I've played about 90 minutes of it, I've not played a ton at all, is the Hades 2 has come out into early access, and is apparently all the craze right now. It's the big hotness, as it were. It's all the it's the newest game that's out that's taking the world by storm. I mean, I assume you didn't play the first one.
Did you say Hades?
Hades.
Yeah, I thought that only came out. I thought the first one only came out not that long ago.
2020.
2020. God, what is time?
And it was in early access for a year before that.
Yeah, I feel like I remember everyone going wild for it and saying it was really good. But I thought, unless it was as Hades 2 been in early access for a little while then?
It only came out in early access this week.
Oh, right, okay. I feel like someone must have been saying, oh, it's coming up and it's really good, or someone was playing one in preparation for it. But so, I was reading about Hades recently and thinking, that sounds quite good. So the fact that the second one's out, maybe I need to catch up.
Yes, I suppose. I mean, it's been in. There've been like invite only technical tests for the game a few weeks prior to the release into early access. So maybe people have been, you know, going
maybe,
over it. Kind
maybe
of
I feel like it was. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I mean that weird kind of. You know, when sometimes you think something was a month ago and it turns out it was years ago. I think it's that's happening rather than. I just feel like someone I know was talking about Hades not that long ago, like not a month ago, probably more like end of last year. So they were probably just playing one, but I'd almost heard that and thought, oh, that came out recently. Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter, does it? 2020 is not that long ago. Really in games it is.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't play it, but it does look good. And, I've heard great things about it.
Yes, it is very good. And from little I've played of Hades 2, it is also, again, another very good game. And I feel like this game, even in early access, is a good chance for Game of the Year. But not necessarily for us, but for a lot of outlets, this will be probably high up there on it. I wasn't intending on getting it. I wasn't intending on getting it because I was like, I'd rather just wait until the 1.0 release. And then I saw people were streaming it and stuff like that. So I watched a couple of, you know, like 5 minutes here and there just to have a look to see what the fuss was. And I thought, I'll have a look on the actual, you know, the Steam page sort of thing, the Steam page of it, and then showed like what their like roadmap is sort of thing for what it is. And they said that it's like, they'll probably be in early access for probably at least till the end of the year. That's the plan, is to release it next year. But then it showed, I wanted to see, okay, what's the content like then? What is the actual, because I hate to get to a game in early access and you hit a wall. That's why I kind of feel like I slowed down on Palworld, especially because I just don't want to get to the 1.0 release and be like, well, for both reasons, actually. I'd hate to, in early access, to get to hit a wall of like, this is all we've got now. Come back in for our next update, and it's just, and you know, you just kind of hard stop. But I also, in the other way, when it gets to 1.0, I don't want to be burnt out on a game because I've played it that much in early access. If you know what I mean. I just don't want to do that. I don't want to be. Get to 1.0 and be like, yeah, I've been there, done that sort of thing. But apparently, from what they said, as it stands now, the game's only been out of in early access for 2 days as of recording this or whatever it is. And it's like the first build that's going out, it already has more content than in Hades 1. And I was like, okay, so this isn't messing about then. This isn't like you just get in the first world and we'll just keep adding to it as it goes on. Even not that it really matters, because spoilers, I haven't even got out the first world yet. It's really hard. Yeah, it seems, from what I played, it seems very good. It's like very familiar in the way it plays, the way it looks, and the way the style of it and what have you. It's still a roguelite, and you're still the first game you played as the son of Hades, Zagreus, and you were trying to escape out. What did I say then?
You said Hades.
Hades,
out.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, are you testing me, Pab? Are you making sure I'm paying attention? Because yeah, I love you now. I am sending a text message, but I'm listening to.
You're trying to escape hell. And now, in this one, because of spoilers, I didn't finish. I didn't even get anywhere close to finishing Hades, the first Hades. So I'm disappointed in. I feel like it's one of them games that I like a lot more than I actually played. But then the second game, you are playing Zagreus' sister, and you are trying to you're trying to get back to hell to stop Cronos, who is like the god of time or something like that. And he has done something with your family. I don't know what, because like I say, it kind of drips in. It's like I say, I've only played about 90 minutes of it, so I've not got a ton of information out of it yet, but it's only drip feeding me information. So you're playing Melanoe or something like that, and you are in like I can't remember what world you're in now. That is the one name that escapes me, because you're under the protection of Hecate, who is the goddess of magic, and you are part of like a witch's coven. So you've been brought up as part of like a witch's coven. So you have spells, which make a difference in the game per se. So in the first game you had like a regular attack, a strong attack, and like a cast. You could cast like an ability. In this one, is you have exactly the same, but I don't know actually now. I'm thinking about it now. Maybe you did have this in the first game, but I don't think you did. So you hold the buttons down and you do like a slightly different ability which takes mana. So it's like almost like you cast a more powerful, it's like a spell modifier to the actual ability. So the base weapon you start off with is like a spear, I want to say, and you can upgrade more spears by collecting stuff later on. I'll tell you about that in a bit. But you have a spear, and it's just like you have like a, it's just like a pokey stick. You just poke things with a stick, but if you hold the button down, you kind of like have like a charge on it, and then it will like do like a magic ability in a straight line of where you're aiming, and it'll just like go forward and like front and back of you, so you'll do like a big line of like whatever it is you've got. And same with the strong attack, and the same with the cast ability. And the cast ability you have, I don't know if this will change either now, thinking about it. But you have a cast ability, and it kind of slows enemies down. It puts like a big AoE on the world, and it slows enemies down. But if you hold that ability down for a certain amount of mana, you will damage the enemies in that circle as well as them being slowed. There's like little hands that kind of claw at them. So it's like all this. It's very similar plays, the way it looks and everything like that. The way the game is set out, where you go into like a level and you have a series of enemies running around, and you defeat all them, and then you get some sort of collectible or power up or whatever it is, and you move on to the next one, and then you move on, so on and so on. You're through a series of dungeons. Until you get to the boss and you beat them and you so on and so forth. If you die, you start again and you do it all again. Very much similar to the first one, but it is also, it's all new, like I say, it's all new abilities, all new weapons, all new spells sort of thing, whole new cast of characters that you speak to, but some returning characters. You do see some. I will say that you'll see Poseidon again from the first game, but there's like, I've also met Apollo, and I don't think Apollo was in the first game.
I felt the urge to go ooh then, and thought, I haven't played it, so yeah. Yeah. Just for the listeners' benefit, that
so if you die, which I have died a lot, you die, you go back to like the hub world sort of thing, back to your witch's coven sort of thing. I can't remember the name of the place now, but you go back there, and then you can go and upgrade your abilities from using the stuff you've collected in your run. You can also, from your run, you can also craft things. There's now like a crafting element where you can make spell. You can cast. You have like there's like a big cauldron in the middle of the hub sort of thing. You can put all these different things in the hub, in the cauldron sort of thing, and make something new. Like there's certain things, like I made something that brought a shopkeeper in to the hub world. So now I've got a shopkeeper, and so on and so forth. And you can also, like, there's no, I don't think there was things like this in the first game where you have a, like, there's a fishing spot. There's fishing spots in the world. There are mining things. You can mine things in the game. There are certain things, like, you can speak to some sort of, like, lost souls, and you can compel them to do things. But to do that, you need certain items. So I've unlocked the pickaxe. I think I've unlocked the pickaxe. So you can take your weapon and, like, a secondary item sort of thing. So it would be like a fishing rod, I presume, at some point I can unlock. And I can fish, and then I get resources from that. Like, I've been getting silver because I took the pickaxe with me. I've been taking pickaxe into the runs with me, so I can get silver from silver. What's the word I'm looking for? Ore? No, silver ore from.
Oh, but yeah, or ingots.
Yeah, I'll get ore. Anyway, whatever it is, so I get all these things, and they all go towards buying things from the store. Putting stuff into the cauldron to make something new to upgrade the base sort of thing. So yeah, in very many ways, it's very similar, but it's similar, but with a whole new, like, fit, like, it's all new sort of thing. So, it plays a little bit different, in the sense of, Zagreus, the main character of the first one, was very dash happy. You would, I feel like I would be dashing around a lot because you don't want to get hit, because once you're dead and you start again. So you dash around a lot. And Melanoi does have a dash, but it's like a dash that's like on like a 1 second cooldown. So it's not like a dash, 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 dash. It's like dash, cooldown, dash, cooldown. But what's different is Melanoi has like a sprint. So if you hold the button down, she'll dash and run, and go into a sprint, so you can then run, and you can upgrade that. I upgraded that, and you were lightning fast if there's like an upgrade path to do that on certain runs. And yeah, there's not much else I can say about it really, because I've got to like the boss of that first world three times now. I haven't beat it. It's been too. I almost
is
did
it the... quite hard. Is it got like difficulty settings, or is it one of these? It's hard, deal with it.
It's hard, deal with it, because the more you play it, the more it will become easier sort of thing. Because every time you die, you come back with your resources, and then you put them into yourself. So you upgrade yourself by, you have like these like almost like tarot cards, and You have a tarot card. It says this will help you do such and such a thing, whatever it is, and it'll unfold the next two around it. But this one costs this much ash. You need ashes to unlock these tarot cards. So every time you're constantly upgrading yourself. So the more you play it, you become stronger anyway. So realistically, by the time I've done, if I do this like probably three or four more times, then it will be considerably easier because I'm just physically stronger in the game. I've been upgrading myself constantly. Now, look, it's not to say it's impossible to do. It's not, because I nearly did it on my third go. I almost did it, but I got beat. It's also a bit like, if you don't get like the abilities on your run, it can kind of sometimes feel like it goes against you. That can go the opposite way as well. Sometimes you didn't realize, because you haven't played this, have you? So you don't know what I'm talking about when I say ability. So every time you finish a room, usually it's like you get something unlocks for you. So it's something. Sometimes it's you just get ash. Sometimes you get like an upgrade. Or sometimes it's an ability from the other gods. You can summon a god, one of the gods, and they'll provide you with an ability. They give you like, it's like one thing to upgrade. So it's like your your base attack now does like splash damage if you speak to Poseidon. Some it's random. You don't know what you're going to get every run. Sometimes it'll be like your cast that'll do certain things. Your sprint will, like I say, I was speaking to, I think it was Apollo, and your sprint, now when you sprint, you run 30% faster and you will also blind enemies when you run like around them. So every time you go through a run, sometimes you can have a really good kind of build for that run, because you're just getting the good, like, it's like, it's a good look of the draw sort of thing. It's like what you actually get from it. And you can sometimes feel like it just doesn't go for you, and you just don't have the abilities to fight what you're fighting. Sometimes you do, and sometimes you feel like I say, that third run that I got to the end boss with, I thought, there's a good chance I might beat this, and I didn't. And that's just how it goes. And then you start again, you come back with all your stuff you've collected on the way. Go back, start again. But now you're a bit stronger. And hopefully you'll get the abilities and stuff that come to you, and you'll progress. And that's kind of the loop of the game, is you, I suppose that's what a roguelite is, to be honest with you. That's the whole thing. That's the whole premise of what a roguelite is, I suppose. But this is a very good one. This is a very good one. Like I say, I suspect that this one might be up there, even in early access, for people's games of the year already.
That's awesome. And it's
very good.
Being given a little nod, it's not even fully out. I
don't necessarily think it necessarily be my game of the year. But I know it will be on probably people's lists come the end of the year. It's one of them. As I say, I'll continue to play some more of it. It works perfectly well on Steam Deck. I've played like half my time on Steam Deck, half my time on my actual PC. So it's one of them where it works fine on both, and I had no issues with it. Other than that, that's pretty much it for me, new games wise. We're in, what, week 10? Nine, maybe, of the Fortnite new season. Now, at this point, the end of the season comes at the end of May. So we're kind of winding down there. We're into Star Wars week this week. By golly, that one's fun.
Is it Lego Star Wars or something I'd seen?
No.
I saw, maybe it's just, no, Le- oh, maybe wait, Star no. Wars is in Lego Fortnite. Lego actually,
yes,
yeah,
Star Wars
yeah.
in Lego Fortnite. Yes, that's right. Yes, that's right. But no, I don't touch that stuff anymore. I can't be bothered. I can't be bothered with the Lego Fortnite stuff anymore. But yeah, the Star Wars stuff's in. As it stands, I think it's only in for this week. It might even be gone by the time this podcast comes out. But yeah, you have Chewbacca's in it now, which has been okay. So you have like the boltcaster is a weapon in the game now. The regular Star Wars laser rifle thing is in as well. As it stands, I think there's only one lightsaber in the game, which is kind of bonkers, really. I expected them to all have the lightsabers again like they did last time it was around. But if you only get the lightsaber if you defeat Darth Vader. And there's only one on the map. I've only encountered it once. I don't know. It's Fortnite. Fortnite's going to Fortnite. It's going to change again. It'll be gone. It'll be different in a week. Other than that, that's pretty much it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I've particularly got involved with. I've played a little bit more Helldivers 2, I suppose. I've been doing some... I've played with my group that I normally play with. And we brought in two people who haven't really played a lot of it. So we were playing on challenging rather than I think that's like level 4 of the difficulty tree, difficulty level.
So and impossible for them and easy for you.
Well, no, challenging is pretty much where they is their level cap sort of thing. And that's where I've been playing until a couple of weeks ago. Until I got started, brought onto like level 8 levels, and it's insane. But I tell you what, I felt like there was much more stress in the level, in the challenger level, than there was in the suicidal level runs that we were doing. Just simply because I feel like it may have been overconfidence, or just the sheer thought of me just dealing with enemies. Like in the suicidal runs, I'm just like on my toes all the time and just ready to run, just not even engage with things, just run away. Whereas on challenging, I'm like, I got this, and just kind of just trying to clear everything out, and then it's more stressful because you don't got this. It's just like me, instead of me just having the flight mentality, I'm trying to fight everything. Whereas, like, so you need to be smart of where you're fighting, what you're fighting. And like I said, we're also playing with two people who this is their difficulty level. So they're getting to that level, and it's like it's not easy. So I'm trying to kind of keep an eye on two teammates as well, trying to make sure they're all right as well. So yeah, it's still Helldivers. It's still Helldivers. I know they've had a rough week of it, to be honest with you, in the sense of they wanted you to put a requirement in, so you'd have to have a PSN account, and you'd have to log into a PSN account. If you're on Steam, sort of thing, and people took a dislike into that, and so then started the review bombing it and getting it negative reviews, and then Steam started refunding people at any level of play time you've had. They will refund you the game now, and then Steam took it off of like 100-odd countries' stores across 100-odd countries. They took it off their store page, and then they backed down. The Sony or whatever is backed down, because I think the Helldivers people said, like, listen, we're trying to talk to Sony and trying to get a U-turn on it, and they did. So that's all been rectified now. I imagine the reviews are all going to change back to positive, because widely this is a hugely positive game.
I don't get why Sony mess around. Like,
well, this was supposed to be in at launch. The initial thing was, it was meant to be a mandatory thing at launch, and they didn't put it in. They kind of like postponed it, and now we're a few months into the game, and they were saying, right, we're bringing it in now. And clearly they don't. I think they just, I don't know the reasoning why. I wasn't overly bothered myself, but then again, that's because I have a PlayStation account. It's not like as if they're getting a new email address they can market to or anything like that. I'm already on their books sort of thing, so it's just like, oh, well, I've just got to log into that once. It's fine. But people who don't have a Sony PlayStation account or whatever, they're having to sign up to a new account or something they don't really want. I can see them being a bit peeved about it, but it's done now. I don't know whether they'll come back to it again at some point. They might, but
it's quite annoying when a lot of companies make you sign up for things. I'm often like, why are you doing this? I'm not going to be more likely to, you know.
If they'd done it at the start like they were supposed to, I don't think this would be a big deal. If it was like, if you want to play this game, then you need the PlayStation account, log into it. All you do is sign up, log into it once, and we won't ask you for anything again. People have been like, yep, fine. I'm sure people will be a bit annoyed about it, but at the time, people wanted to play this game. Now it comes to the point of like, people have like, well, you know what I mean? People have had a taste of like what the game is and what have you, and been like, I shouldn't have to do it. You didn't need it before. Suddenly now we need it. It doesn't make sense. So if it had done it at the beginning, I don't think there'd be anywhere near as much of a...
Yeah, I mean, that again is also mad, isn't it? Even if they'd done it like new players have to, but everyone else doesn't, well, that'd probably be fair enough as well. Like, within reason. But even then, I wouldn't do it at all. But if you were just suddenly deciding it's going to be a new thing and you had to do it, apply it for anyone new and leave it for everyone else, you know.
Yeah, it's one of them. I don't know, but it's one of them harebrained schemes that I don't necessarily think it was the people, the developers sort of thing. If it was on the Sony end, that it was one of them that they wanted. They thought, oh my God, we've got all these people that are on Steam that are all have all bought the game or whatever. We could get, if we all get their email addresses and we can all start marketing to them, then maybe we, because like the Ghost of Tsushima comes out on PC in a month or so, and they've had, and their developers have had to come out and start going, we're not going to ask for it. It's not, it's no, no, it's nothing. No, we, you don't have to do anything. There's no account you need to sign into. We're all, it's all got it. Because they're trying to get ahead of the fact that people are going to be like, oh, if Sony's making them do it, Sony will make bloody Sucker Punch do it. And the Ghost of Tsushima, and it's like, no, 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 nothing, no, 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 we're all good over here. So, I don't know. So yeah. Other than that, actually, a lot from me, Sheepdog. I mean, we can start winding things down a little bit.
Yeah, I know. You've done a solid, what, 35-odd minutes there of what you played. Good work. So if you want to hear more from us, I mean, you can get the podcast at MGUK Podcast on Twitter, or you can follow me at RB6K.
And I'm at Hab1986. I left a gap then. It's waiting for Anna.
Yeah. I mean, I almost did as well, and I fumbled the bloody podcast. But, yeah. Hope you enjoyed the episode, folks. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thanks a lot, folks. Bye-bye.